beach until we couldn't move no longer.
We could be by the sea, jamming the P.I.T. And we can also be a part of the midnight city, walking in this wasting money, screaming silly love songs.
All around the city's dress,
living on day.
Welcome to 216, the Link to the Past Randomizer podcast. I am your host, Fear Agent. A little bit of a longer intro today, featuring the song Paradise by Mark Nificent. On Spotify, it's under GOAT. Got links in the description for, of course, his Twitch and his Spotify. And we'll talk about his interest tracker, but we've got a link to that as well in the notes. So check it out. Mark Nificent is on the show today. I feel like Mark Nificent is one of those people who, if I had known him in real life, we would have been best friends. Like, I just really get along with Mark. I like his demeanor. I'm really drawn to creative people as well, and he's super talented and creative. And really, I'm in awe of his talent and his work as a musician, and I'm excited to see what he does in the future with it. So we have a really fun conversation, and we'll get to that shortly. I caught up with some people in Bellevue this last Sunday, a little SGL mini reunion. Everyone, I think, had gone to SGL except for James FNX. So last summer and Ninjembro were in town visiting family and stuff and organized a little get together with most of the people in the Northwest. I know there were some people not there. I think we're still trying to figure out who all is in the Northwest. So maybe next time we can get even more people. But we met up at Mox Boarding House, which is a really cool gaming store. They have a really cool restaurant where you can eat and play games for free. And that's what we did. We played this really fun game. I don't remember what it's called. Maybe Ninjembro can mention it in the Discord. But we did play some Codenames, and that was fun. And my team dominated. I think it was me, GGW, James FNX. Yeah, I think it was just the three of us versus Norsk Maddie, Telethar, So Last Summer, and Ninjembro. Anyways, we had a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to catch up, to see everyone, just to hang out and have some good food. So that was really, really cool, and really appreciated them inviting me out. It was a bit of a drive. Even though I am in the Northwest, I'm on the east side of Washington. So everyone else was approximately 15 to 20 minutes away from where we met up. I think James might have been a little bit further, but it's a little bit over a 2-hour drive for me. So I didn't get to hang out as long as everyone else did, but still a good time and glad to hang out. So that was cool. I did officially step down from the TARC admin position, as well as Radical Sniper Jesse. He also stepped down. He's going to be moving over to a moderator role. So he'll be a mod now over there. Applications, I think, are open. I'm not sure. I think applications are open now for the next week, and then there'll be a week of voting, and two new people will be coming in as TARC admins. I mentioned this in the past. You know, I've done my share of work here in the community. I've volunteered a lot of my time, and I don't think it's a tough job. I just think having people that are more plugged in, that are more current, people that are racing, I think all those are important values to have as an admin. And I think finding some people that are better suited is going to be good. I was glad to be part of the first council. Excuse me. I was part of the first council. I was glad to be part of the first group of admins for TARC. I think we did a lot of really good work. I think we did a pretty good job of setting up what TARC looks like and how it's run. And I think it's in capable hands with the three that are still there, especially Homemade Beer. Dude does a lot of work behind the scenes. And I would say he was the unofficial leader of the first term. So if you're going to keep anyone in, if you can convince anyone to stay, I would suggest keeping Homemade Beer. That dude is super valuable to TARC and the community and does a lot of work that goes unnoticed. So huge shout outs to Beer. And if he keeps running after this second term, I would keep voting him in because he's invaluable, super invaluable. So that's my 2 cents there. I wish everyone well in TARC and hope it goes well in the future. Haven't been gaming much. Have been watching a lot of movies, caught up on some old stuff that has been on my wall of shame list for a while. Finally watched Chinatown, loved it. Finally watched Network, loved it. And then I watched Election from 1999, and that was excellent. Really, really liked that one a lot. So that's been cool, just kind of catching up on movies that I've been wanting to watch for a long time that have been just sitting in my queue. Yeah, other than that, not a lot going on. Just chilling. So let's get to it. Here's the interview with Mark. Had a blast. I think you will too. Mark Nipson. Have you been drumming your whole life?
Yeah, the most part. Yeah, it's ever since I was a teenager, yeah.
Was that your first instrument that you got into?
So my first instrument was the piano. I got it started on that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How old were you when you started with the piano?
So I started playing piano when I think I was around six or seven.
Okay.
I started playing. Mm-hmm.
I'm just, because, you've moved way more into, we know each other through Link to the Past, but your streams have become way more musical. Dude, mm-hmm. just enamored with your talent, dude. You're super talented.
And thanks a lot.
I can't get enough of it. Remember when you first sent me a link to your some of your music, and this was years ago. I'm sure you've made even more since then, but mm-hmm. I was like completely blown away about like how much it jams, dude. Like, you're really good. You're like really good.
Yeah, thanks a lot. My music project is something, that I've always had a passion for pretty much my whole life. I wouldn't call it like on the side of like, my other hobbies or anything like that. I mean, I have other hobbies like gaming, mm-hmm. specifically retro gaming. So that was something that I wasn't sure that I was going to do on Twitch just yet. I knew eventually that I might, move over to music, but I found Twitch, through games and watching games. So, So when I got my start on Twitch, it was definitely through the Zelda Rando community.
But did you see other people playing music on Twitch and kind of inspire you to do that as well?
It did. I think music didn't start on Twitch until about like 2018, somewhere around there, like 2017, 2018. Mm-hmm. I found Twitch in 2016. Okay. And so it was actually just games at first. I was like, oh, really cool. And then I saw more streamers popping up on the music scene. And I thought, well, I guess I should set up my, my music stuff. Kind of already, like I had my game set up, but already with all my music equipment there, so that mm-hmm. at some point, I think my earlier streams, if you actually watch my earlier streams, I would actually play, like after I beat a Zelda, like Rando Seed, I would actually play the end. I'd play along with the end on the piano.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like every single seed used to be like a thing I did, and then I stopped doing it at some point, but I thought that was like a little bit fun.
Yeah, no, that's super awesome. Do you prefer the drums over the piano? I mean, I could tell that you got a talent in a bunch of different instruments, but mm-hmm. watching you drum has been really cool.
Yeah. So I do. Let's see. My best instrument is drums. I think I do prefer it. It is like a lot of fun to just jam along with songs, like that. I've probably spent the most like practice wise my entire life, even though like piano is like an earlier instrument. I think I spent the most time on drums, just playing in bands, starting like when I did, which was like middle school, high school, even till now. But then I also I joined the drum line in college, and I also played for the Baltimore Ravens drum line for a little bit. Yeah, that was
that's awesome.
That was a lot of fun. Yeah.
How long did you do that for?
I actually only did one season at the Baltimore Ravens before I moved out of Maryland, where Baltimore is.
Did you grow up in Maryland?
Yes, that's where I grew up.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. My family actually still lives there, so I'm often visiting.
Right. You're in Cali now, right?
Yes, I'm in Los Angeles. Nice. Currently.
A better place to be, probably, a musician if that's your goal, I would guess.
Yeah, for sure. I music is one of my goals. I also am I'm an engineer. I'm a software engineer.
Oh, okay.
By day. So I think the tech scene is pretty good over here too. So I kind of get the best of both. I get the tech, I get the music, and mm-hmm. And the warmth, I guess.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Did you grow up playing video games?
I did. I grew up, the first, it was like computer video games. They weren't that great at the time. Okay. And then I had a SNES.
So you're talking about early computer games, like DOS type stuff, right?
Yeah, they were on DOS. I think our very first computer, like there were no colors on the monitor. It was just like a single, like the gold screen. And somehow we were loading like onto 5-inch floppies. We were loading like Scrabble, which had no dictionary. Like we could just put any word down and be like, it was amazing. Yeah. Very basic games on this like machine. And we were all about it. We had this like golf demo. And the sounds were coming through like the PC speaker. So it was like,
that's so good. Mm-hmm. So you didn't have you went straight to the NES. Were you young when that came out or?
Yeah. So it was actually my older brother that got the SNES for the family. Mm. And I just sort of tagged along. I think I was around six or seven.
Okay.
When we got the SNES, I was in second grade is what I remember.
Okay. What were you playing? Do you remember?
So we were playing Super Mario World. I think that's that's the game that came with the Zelda: Link to the Past was like a very that was the one I obsessed over early on. And I think let's see, I can name a lot of them: Mega Man X, Donkey Kong Country, and then pretty much all the JRPGs like that were available, like. Final Fantasy 4 and 6, the Japanese or Americanized version of that.
Yeah.
And then, let's see, Chrono Trigger.
So even as a kid, you were playing those games? Like you were like that young?
Yeah. So, I actually remember around 6 or 7, I was playing Final Fantasy Mystic Quest. That was like one of my first games. Like I remember that. I was just like, oh yeah, this is so cool. And I think, I think a game like that is actually simple enough. It's not necessarily the open world. They kind of guide you to where to go in that game. I was playing that game early on.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. You said you had an older brother. Is that all your siblings? Do you have other siblings?
Yeah, I have a younger sister and an older brother.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Was gaming a big part of growing up with your siblings, or was it mostly something that you were doing?
It actually was. Me and my brother, we would, we would go through our worlds. We create our worlds in like the JRPGs and, kind of go through them together. I would, sit there and just watch him go through, whatever game we were playing, whether or not it was Chrono Trigger or Final Fantasy VI or Donkey Kong Country 2 and 3 as well. I used to, we used to sit there for hours and just be like, oh yeah, be highly into it. I had a best friend that came over as well. And he would just, he would watch us too. And like, we would all be into it and be like, yo, dude, like, do we get to the next level? That's amazing. Like it was kind of like that. So it definitely was a big part of, growing up, with my brother. Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about Baltimore, because everything that I know about Baltimore comes from The Wire, and I know that can't be all of it, right? Like,
of course, yeah. There's it's not all just
cops and drugs.
Drugs, underdeveloped communities. It's right. not like there are definitely like nicer parts of Baltimore. They're actually mixed in to all of that. It's not just like the underdevelopment parts are like off, pushed off to the side. They're kind of just like nicer areas within all of that. So
sure. Which I imagine is like most cities, right? Like if you might mention Seattle, I'm sure you could, because I'm in the Northwest. You could find areas that were, there are definitely more just ghetto and then some that are definitely nicer. But it's just funny because The Wire is such a popular show and I loved it. I love The Wire. Mm-hmm. I don't know what people from Baltimore feel about it, but I thought it was awesome.
There is a sense of pride with that show. They're like, yeah, it's from Baltimore. Yeah, it's awesome. Like, I don't know why we brag about that. It's just like, it's like the drugs and the crime.
Yeah.
Baltimore's there's a really nice area. The Inner Harbor is probably what's most famous for is in Baltimore is just an area that's the harbor is connected to the Chesapeake Bay, which is like the body of water that kind of runs throughout Maryland. They're pretty famous for the crabs.
Crab cakes is like super famous from Baltimore, right?
Mm-hmm. Maryland, and the way they make them are amazing. They just, it's all meat, no filler. It's just like and they just lump it on there. It's amazing. So, a little bit about Baltimore. Yeah, it's just the Inner Harbor is a famous area. It's got Camden Yards, where the Baltimore yeah. Orioles play, and then it's got M&T Bank Stadium, which is where the Ravens play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just really nice area. They used to have a bunch of shops that were around there that you can walk around the harbor. There's the Discovery Center, the Science Center, and the aquarium.
Yeah,
That's also there. So,
but they got rid of the shops. Worked as a graphic designer for the aquarium for a while. So.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
I've heard cool things about Baltimore. It seems like a cool place to check out.
For sure. The only kind of complaint I had about Maryland is just the winters can get cold. But, you know, the spring and summers, I tend to enjoy a lot. Sure. It's really nice there. So,
yeah.
But yeah.
You enjoyed growing up there, basically.
For sure. Yeah. It was a fun time. I went to school. Like, that was I went to college around there. The state school in Maryland as well. So. Mm. Go Terps. That's what it was. So nice. I had a lot of fun times there.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Did you guys stick with Nintendo as you got older? Were you guys going with like 64? Or did you guys branch out into other systems? How was gaming as you got a little bit older?
So as I got older, I guess migrated over to more of the computer. We didn't really have another console. Like I bought a PlayStation where I was playing. What was I playing? I can't even remember.
Final Fantasy VII, maybe?
Yeah, maybe. Like I actually played Final Fantasy VIII.
Oh, okay.
I started VII. I didn't finish it, but I played VIII. I finished that through. That actually, I played VIII on the computer. So I think that started like the migration of like the
sure.
Going back to the computer because I was playing like Final Fantasy VIII on the computer. Warcraft series, like 1 and 2.
Mm.
Let's see, what else was I playing? I think at that point I figured out how to, sort of play on the emulator, but you know, we don't have to get into that. You know?
No, totally. Sure. We're not going to incriminate you here, but you legally had rights to the games that you you only downloaded the games that you had access to.
Absolutely. Right? Totally. 100%. 100%.
Yeah, that's we all did that for sure. Gosh. In the early 2000s, now I'm an adult and I have a little bit of cash and I'm able to purchase like all of my software. Like I don't even think about illegally downloading software anymore. Like I know it's got to be out there, but I'm responsible. In 2000, 2001, you know, when Napster and LimeWire and all that other stuff, I didn't have money to buy software anyways, but I was definitely downloading all of my music and all of my programs and all of the, you know what I mean? Like it was like constantly fighting with getting viruses on the computer and stuff. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah. Especially like on Napster when you download the song that you think it was and you get it and it'd be like it wouldn't play or wouldn't play back or it'd be a different song.
Yeah.
It'd just be like a troll.
Yeah.
I remember those days, Kazaa.
Oh yeah, like, for sure, man. Like I was a musician too, and I played the drums. And Fruity Loops was like in its early origins, and I never bought that, but I made a shitload of drum beats on it. You know what I mean? Like,
or sure.
Different samples and just figuring all that stuff out. But that was the early days of the internet. Now I'd legally purchase everything now, but. Back then, it was the wild, wild west.
Absolutely. I that's how it was early on for me. I couldn't buy anything. I was only a teenager. So
yeah, totally. You know, yeah.
I want so many things. I don't have the money. I can't buy anything online. I don't have a card or anything like that. So.
Right. And my parents were going to be like, here's $60 to spend on the internet. Like, no, there was no way that was happening least with my parents. Yeah.
Of course. They did not understand that. I mean, I actually was fortunate enough. I somehow convinced my dad to buy me a computer from a neighbor who worked in IT. So I had several computers just laying at home, just laying in his basement.
That's awesome.
I think he was like, yeah, I'll sell you one for $100. I'm like, okay. And it was like a pretty nice machine and like $100 for a computer was like for a tower was pretty great at the time. My Pentium 2 processor, 300 megahertz was amazing. You know, like it was awesome. And,
blowing everyone away. Yeah.
So
Windows 95.
It was, actually, I installed Windows XP on that thing when I got it. Yeah.
Oh boy, yeah.
Yeah, nice. We had several copies of Windows XP somehow. not gonna let you know. Sure. Not explicitly saying it here, but I had, we had copies of that and we're also distributing it.
Sure. Yeah,
so
for sure.
I had XP on that and like, I, that's where I learned a lot about computers. I opened that one up and I was like swapping out parts, putting a CD burner into it, and like mm-hmm. I was learning like about what I could do with a computer, and actually it was $100 well spent. So what about
music? Did music play a part in that when you're trying to make music and do it digitally? Was that something that you were trying to do? Because I remember, gosh, my first band, recording something digitally just seemed so foreign. We set up it was a Sony mini disc. I think that's what it was, a Sony mini disc recorder. And we put a mic in the middle of the room, and just that was our way to record it digitally because we didn't have anything else. This is like legit 2000, 99, 2000. So
for sure. Yeah, I think so. I got the computer in 01 and I was obsessed. Like I got obsessed with like, I guess I was trying to figure out how to create videos, put them onto like CDs, like videos and music, put it on the CD, and how to like record it in, how to capture it. And before I was just like, I could only download music, and I was just like, okay, well, how do I record into this computer, and how can I mix it all together? And I think I just Google was a blessing.
Probably Yahoo at that time,
Alta Vista.
Alta Vista, yeah,
sure. Yeah, so
yeah, man.
Yeah, I think I got a lot of my resources from Google. It's like, okay, well, how can I record to the computer? And I just like I got into it. I bought capture cards, sound cards, and I was like, okay, yeah, I can. I actually was a part of this like youth group. Like we did a bunch of like performances, like every half year we would do performances, and so that group we owned a sound system, and we actually practiced in my parents' basement for that. So that sound system was just like down there, full mixer, full microphone setup. So I was lucky. I was like, okay,
that's awesome.
I'm gonna somehow figure out how to hook this like mixer up to my sound card. Like there's a line in on the sound card. I was like, okay, well, there's a line out on the mixer. So I was like, just get a cable and see what we can record. So I was able to kind of learn how to mix audio through just through Google. I downloaded this software called Acoustica Mixcraft or Acoustica MP3 audio mixer, like really early on. DAW. Awesome. I was like, okay, I can actually just like put different tracks, I can stack different tracks, overdub different tracks onto each other, and that's great. How I understood it. And I was like, okay, but I can record these separately and I can hear it back while I record it. And it was just like, I learned through like that process when I was,
that's awesome.
When I was, I think 15, and I was like, okay. So I got my start, recording, my music, my band's music at the time, through that.
That's awesome. So were you guys writing original stuff? What were you playing? Were you the drummer for that?
Yeah, so I was a drummer in we were like a rock band. Mm-hmm. We liked playing metal, it was
Nice.
It was good. Yeah, good times. I mean, we liked playing all kinds of rock music, but it was just like we ended up playing like a lot of, we liked speed and like headbanging and like guitar solos and drum solos. So we were playing it was covers at first, and then eventually at the end of like when we were like I was a senior in high school, we started writing original music, started playing more shows out in the in our scene, in like the Baltimore DMV scene, like Delaware, Maryland, Virginia. That's what DMV is. Okay. So that scene, and there was I guess we were lucky. There was a lot of people that that wanted to be involved, not just in like the music way. They wanted to host those events, book the venues and like make get ticket sales and like a lot, there were parents that wanted to get involved. They're like, yeah, I'd rather, create this for, teenagers to go to like a safe place, than going out and doing, drugs or doing whatever. They can come to this venue, watch their friends play and with music, hang out with their friends, and it's safe,
That's awesome. That's super awesome.
It was a cool thing to be a part of, growing up. That was, it started booming around the time I was, in I guess a senior in high school. So it was like a good time to be a teenager, those times. I think it was like 2005, 2004.
That is super awesome. And it sounds like you were able to be pretty creative and gain a lot of experience pretty fast.
Mm-hmm. I think it was that year that I really started, getting more serious about my playing, my music, like my musicianship, in both piano, drums. I started singing at that time too. So I started recording my singing covers, and I play guitar a little bit as well. So,
you're like Prince, man. You should do it all. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, I started getting into guitar playing and singing just because, I don't know, I think there was a girl that I liked. So, you know, girls really do it to you. You know, they just like inspire you. Yeah. Totally. Breaking out of your shell and your shyness and stuff like that. So I,
and you're a hell of a singer too. Like those songs that you sent me, man, they're really good. I was super impressed.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. I think it all started there. I think eventually I was like, I want to start my own project. I want to start singing. Mm-hmm. I want to do this. So I kind of just was working on everything, but you know, the three main things was just like drums, piano and singing and I guess recording at the same time. I was also doing that a lot.
It feels like you get the role of a producer almost as well. Like someone who like is good at like guiding and like directing and, you know, figuring out what works for a band.
Yeah, for sure. So I continued on like in college. I think some bands in the scene like kind of caught wind of like the music I was recording, and they were impressed by like the quality that I was putting out and I guess the process that I had. So I actually started a music production company. Mm. And I just had like several clients from the music scene around there. Cause I guess recording wasn't so accessible at the time.
For sure. Yeah.
It was like either like super expensive or just like the technology wasn't there you know, like for your computers.
The way you made it sound so easy is like, maybe you picked it up pretty quick. Cause getting sound cards and stuff to plug into the computer, I feel like, is way more accessible now than it was, you know, 15 years ago. But
I'd say
early has got to be super beneficial
for sure. I think music making nowadays is very easy. Like I think recording equipment is so accessible. Like the processing chains that, you know, that mixing engineers are really good at, you can just buy those now, like there's as presets. So it's like really tailored to like the artist that just wants to record, wants to create, and doesn't want to worry about the like the more engineering parts of music, digital music creation.
Sure.
But back in the day, you know, like that wasn't so easily accessible. But you know, Google, like I keep going back to this, you know, like Google was my friend. YouTube, you know, helped me out
for sure.
And just like I had bands that just they took a chance on me, and I got a lot of early exposure to like how I, you know, to set up like recording sessions. Through going, I guess I went to a friend's like album recording session through like a, you know, a legit studio in Baltimore, and they actually gave me the opportunity to master that record.
Oh, wow.
So I had the stems of their record. I actually had the Pro Tools sessions. I actually migrated over to Pro Tools eventually.
Sure.
Just like kind of like that's the industry, you know, standard right now. Right. But there's obviously a lot of, you know, programs you can use. They're all good too. So, but I got my early start on Pro Tools, and so that's where I got like the majority of my experience was this band letting me master their album, and then I had their Pro Tools sessions, and I pretty much like, you know, reverse engineered it, and once I learned how to do that, I was able to record my own sessions in Pro Tools. So so just an early start. This was around like 2008 2009 when I got my recording company started.
That's super awesome. Now let me ask you this, because I've heard of mastering, and in theory, I know what mastering does, but what does it take to master an album? Like, what are you doing exactly?
So there actually is two different stages. There's the mixing stage and the mastering stage. The mixing stage is where you mix all the sounds together, make sure all the balance is correct. It's mainly about balance, and you can get more into like the emotional side of mixing. Like,
right. It's not just making sure everything's even. You want to make sure that like,
yeah,
the guitars hit when the guitars are supposed to hit, or the drum, you know, like the levels of the drums aren't overpowering stuff or
So it's like, you want to just make sure that the emotion's right. Like it impacts you. It feels right. You're like, oh yeah, that part's rocking. And like the more like, you know, the more emotional parts of the music, that's where you can get into like the art of mixing. But I guess like mixing in fewer words is just balance.
Yeah.
It's just making sure the balance is right, and that, you know, all the all the instruments sit well, and they all contribute to the whole, the entire sound, I guess.
Is the band usually involved with, or the musician or whoever the artist, involved with the mixing sessions, or is that something that you usually do by yourself?
So yeah, there is a back and forth. You know, I'll make a mix and then I'll run it by the band and see if what they like about it and what they don't like, and they can shoot me some notes and I can, you know, make some edits, and then mm-hmm. you know, there's a back and forth until, you know, they're happy with it, essentially.
Right.
So yeah, I'd say the band is involved with it.
Okay. Sure. And then when it comes to mastering, that's something different, right?
Yeah, mastering is different. So with mixing, you once you're done your mix, you mix it down to like a single audio track. You know, it's a single, like, generally stereo audio track. Sure. It kind of depends. If you're doing movies, you can have like 5.1, right, whatever, that's six channels. But generally music is stereo, just two channels, a left and right. So you have like a single channel and or a single audio track. And that will, see, you... Yeah, the mastering stage will just take that one track and just make sure that it's that it presents well on every, like, different speaker set, whether it's headphones or ear pods or your car stereo or computer speakers or stadium speakers. Like, it just, yeah, that stage is where is that makes your, I guess, your audio, I guess, your music ready for distribution. That makes sense. Making sure it's loud enough or soft enough, you know, yeah, all those things.
How does it differ than mixing? I know it's all like one piece or you know, like one file then, but mm-hmm. is it really like, are you fine tuning stuff then?
Not so much. It's so like, you know, mixing is more about the blend of the different tracks. And then like, the mastering is more about the one overall track, how you can make that, you know, sound good on like all the different mediums. So
sure.
So that's where I say that, you know, the difference between mixing and mastering is you can do both in one session. You know, I think when you do digital, I guess when you work in a DAW, like a digital, like Pro Tools or Fruity Loops, like you use right. you can mix it all, blend it all, you know, and then there's like usually a master channel where you can add your mastering, you know, chain. So the processes are often combined. I think back in the day, they were separate.
When you're dealing with like tapes and reels and stuff, probably. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they anticipated the future where, you know, where digital was going to become a new like medium. And so they had the original mixes just kind of as is, and maybe the original sessions even. So they kind of, they anticipated for that, so that, you know, and mastering standards would, you know, change. They've actually changed a lot since the 80s. It's gotten like much louder,
yes,
essentially.
Yes.
They make it so loud and like, yeah, like there's almost no room for like dynamics. They fill all the space up so they can take up all the sound. But I think it's like, you know, it's kind of an illusion to like the listener, because louder is always better. You're like, oh yeah, it sounds like nice and loud. It's like,
yeah,
it compares to like all the songs I like too. So
when you see an album as like the 2020 remaster, it's like they just turned the volume up, basically.
Essentially, it's like they compressed it more, and yeah, and it seems louder, you know, comparatively to what it used to be.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Okay, getting back to you more personal. You're more into computer games. You're playing. Yeah, you're doing music as you get older. Mm-hmm. Are you competitive? Do you have something that like drives you competitively? Were you playing sports or anything like that?
I did. So yeah, when I grew up, I did play a lot of sports. I was I played basketball. I was like highly into basketball. I didn't really continue with basketball. I wasn't like big enough, tall enough for it. So I think my sports reign kind of ended like in early high school, and I got more into music around that time.
Yeah.
But I did, you know, I did have my years of competition and in sports. I still like watching, you know, I still love my sports and watching it.
Are you a Baltimore fan? Do you root for like the Orioles and the Ravens and stuff like that?
Definitely. I'm a Ravens fan. A heartbreaker in that AFC championship game. So
yeah.
Against the Chiefs. So, you know, I was definitely hoping for a Super Bowl ring this year, but, you know, that just didn't happen, unfortunately. But
Can Lamar get it done, man? That's the question. It's like, he's so good during the regular season, but can he bring that into the postseason? Yeah.
I know, and it just, we were so frazzled. I was like, I don't know why we're so frazzled right now. We have like all the tools. We have, we had the home field advantage. Like it was, everything suited our game. I think we just got, we got frazzled. I just say that.
Yeah. It was weird. They went to like, it was like he didn't want to run the ball for some reason. It's like, dude, run the ball. Nobody can stop you. But then you have the Orioles, right? Like just last year, they were supposed to be one of the best teams, and they were one of the best teams in the regular season. And then,
I think they're number one in the AL. They just they lost in the first round against the Rangers. I think it was 3-2. It was like a 3-2.
Sure.
So it was like it was a close series, but unfortunately they couldn't be won. But they were number one in the AL with their salary cap was like the lowest, I think, in the MLB. Yeah. So I was like, we have a lot of room to bring in something that will get us to that next level.
Yeah. Sports, man. It kills me. It's like, you love it. It's so good for so long. And then it ends. And you're just like, oh, that's so heartbreaking.
Yeah, for sure. It's like, we couldn't even watch the rest of that, AFC championship game. We were like, my friends and I were at a bar here. Like there's a bar that hosts the Ravens fans of LA. Cool. And we're just like, we were so disappointed by like midway through the third quarter. We're like, should we just go, man? We cannot, I can't stand this. Like we had so many opportunities that we just blew. And like, we actually could have won this game if we had like scored that touchdown. That was not a strip. So there was like so many things that happened. So anyway, we don't have to keep talking about that.
Just rub the salt in. So where's gaming as you're getting older? Like you're more involved in music. You're probably you went to college and stuff. Like does gaming take a backseat? How important is gaming to you as you're getting older?
So I haven't really thought about games until I found Twitch again.
Okay.
So I had not just like, I had simply just not played a modern, like any more modern games, like anything that's happening right now, like Fortnite, Call of Duty. I watched my friends play that, but I never really got into it like throughout college and like even after college. I think I was just more focused on the music scene and like going out and like having fun. And it really wasn't until Twitch that I kind of like found the love for all the games I used to play. I was like, oh, wow. This is actually kind of cool watching people play these games like really well.
Right.
The games that I like spent hours and hours on, these guys, like, like an RPG game, you spend like 50 hours on, these guys are beating them in like 3 or 4 hours. I'm like, this is kind of cool. Like I can just put this on while I work. And that's what I was doing most of the time once I discovered it. And, it became more of like, I was like, I don't feel like watching TV or TV shows right now. I just want to, hang out and, watch a Zelda run or.
Right.
Some speed, right? It started with like, just like NMG speed runs. At that point, I was like, this is fun. So
how did you even find Twitch? What did like the YouTube algorithm get you over? Or what was it that introduced you to it?
So it was, I was watching speed runs on YouTube. I didn't discover Twitch until, my sister's husband, so my brother-in-law, has Twitch installed on his like gaming console. I think it was either an Xbox or like a PS4 or PS3 at the time. He had the Twitch app installed, and we were just on there searching games. And I think he had like a Chrono Trigger stream up, and I was just like, "Whoa, what is this? Like, what are we watching right now?" I was like, "It's like this guy's live. He's playing Chrono Trigger," and I was like, "This is so cool." I was like, "What is?" What even is this? So like, I think immediately after I saw that, I went home and signed up for, an account on Twitch, and that became my, like, what I would watch like that summer and just like continue on moving forward.
So do you remember when you first saw Link to the Past, or was it Link to the Past and then Link to the Past Randomizer, or which came first?
Yeah. So it was Link to the Past, just like the vanilla game at first. Like once I went home, signed up, I started following all the games that I really enjoy. So all those games I mentioned, earlier in this talk. Link to the Past was one of them. And, I think at the time it just, there was like a GDQ, like a recap on YouTube. And I started following those runners, and they were doing 100% NMG at the time. So I was watching a lot of that and then just like the regular NMG at the time. I don't think Randomizer started coming up in like 2017.
Yeah.
At that time, like earlier. And I at first when the Randomizer came out, I didn't want to watch it. I was like, oh, what is this? This is not NMG. I was like, I don't want to watch this. Like, it's like, sure. This is not what I was into and at the time. So I actually avoided watching it. And it wasn't until I watched a race like between two people, and it was Randomizer, and it was really close at the end. And I was like, oh, wow, this is actually really fun to watch. And I think I remember this. It was Willard and Rick, you know, like they were commentating it, and they're a really good duo. And I was like, this is like so exciting to me right now. I'm like watching the Ganon fights. I'm like, oh wow, they're 8 seconds apart. It's crazy. So, it was because of that, like that race that I watched, that got me like more into random. Then I started watching the seeds, and I was like, oh, okay. Then I wanted to play it.
Actually. Sure.
So I got my first.
When you're watching the speedruns, you never thought maybe I could do this?
I think after I started watching Randos, I think it was like maybe like a few weeks, I started setting up a stream on a computer. I guess I wasn't necessarily ready to stream. I just like wanted to see if I could set it up and maybe like try to do it.
Sure.
Because I'd run a few Randos just on my own time. On an emulator on my Apple TV. Like I was able to I installed like an emulator there, and I had like a wireless controller. I was like, cool. And it took me like 4 hours, and I was like, oh,
that's awesome.
I have like pictures. I took pictures of like the seeds that I finished. I'm like, man, I gotta get this time down or whatnot. This was in 2017, actually, but I actually didn't start racing or really streaming it until about a year later. So, like, I got it set up and then never started at that point.
Was it the racing aspect, or did you keep playing seeds just offline? You just didn't consider racing.
I think it was more. I got busy because of work. I started a new job around that time, and I got super busy for that whole year. So I think I just like the thought of me streaming
the time.
Postpone it, but I was still like actively watching it all the time and watching those races. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first like rando tournament and even the second one, I just was so like, so into the brackets and the matchups and it was a lot of fun. I knew eventually that I was like, man, I got to get into this. This is like, I'm watching this all the time. I feel like I can do this. So yeah.
Yeah.
That's when I got into it.
So you started before I did. In fact, you have the distinct honor of being one of the few first teams for the league. If you remember, it was you, mm-hmm. Kern, who I've got to get on the show, by the way. And then, and Walther, mm-hmm. Formed Old Swag of Jackson. Do you remember how that happened? Do you remember joining the league and putting that team together? Were you friends with those guys beforehand?
Yeah, I was actually. I belonged to, or I was running with a group of, I guess, friends called the Crystal Company.
Yeah.
I was like introduced to them, and I think Walt reached out to me. He saw that I was running, and we were, I forgot what tournament it was. It was like the main tourney in 2018. Mm-hmm. And I think both of us didn't make it. It was like the main tourney. So we had to do the secondary tournament.
The Challenge Cup. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The Challenge Cup. So yeah. And I think we were looking to get better. So we were like, I think he reached out to me to like maybe race, you know, against each other on stream. And I think that's what started us, you know, us becoming friends. We just started racing together. And I think when the league came around, I was like, yeah, I'm trying to get a team together. I was like, you want to join me and Kern in the league? I actually didn't know Kern at the time, but we joined the team together, and then we all became buddies there. And I remember that first league season. That was super fun.
It was super fun. It was a small 16 teams. It was, you know, just kind of the who's who. We're just trying to figure it out how to get it all together. But it was a super fun team with you, Walther, and Kern, just a bunch of cool guys. Mm-hmm. Old Swagger Jackson, one of the funnier names, with you having the picture of Michael Jackson as your icon. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, I think it was just because of the just our stream, like our stream icons. Like I had like a Michael Jackson emote, and then like and then Walter had an AGA,
yep,
like a swag AGA emote. So we call him Swagga, and then like, and then Kern's, I guess, preferred emote was the old man.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're like, okay, old Swagga Jackson. That's
totally worked. I loved it. You guys ended up playing for 4 seasons.
Tell me
about your experience, because you know one of the reasons I'm glad you're on the show is you're not racing anymore. If you are, it's very infrequent, and I miss having Mark Nificent around, but. You guys were a good competitive fun team to play, and I don't know, tell me about your experience in the league, because you guys did play 4 seasons and were always competitive.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So that first one, that definitely was probably when we were in the prime of our Zelda playing, probably the best skill level, maybe that second season even, but
yeah,
the first season definitely was our highlight, making,
yeah,
I think making that maybe first round of playoffs, maybe losing it as well. I guess as the years went along, I started playing like less and less after I got busy with work again. So,
sure.
I could only really play. I couldn't really practice too much. I was still joining the tournaments, the cross keys ones, specifically, but I guess when the league came around, it was always like, okay, Walt would always get it together. And I was like, you know what, let's just do this, pandemic's happening. Like, let's do league season 3 or 2, right. 3. And I don't know if we did the 4th, actually. It was maybe just the 3rd season.
No, I got it here. You guys did 4 seasons.
Okay. We did 4 seasons then. Yeah. For sure. But
you could tell that you were on your way out though. Cause like, if you look at your record going in, like season 1, you're 4-1. Mm-hmm. Season 2, you're 4-2. Season 3, you're 1-6. And then season 4, 0-5. So it's like you could tell that you were like just playing in the you know what I mean? Like you weren't doing a lot of practice. You weren't getting a lot of play in. But still wanted to be a part of it.
Yeah, we still just wanted to be like just for old time's sake. And actually, Walt reached out to me last August. And he's like, what do you think about just like reprising our league status and be like the washed up, like old Swagga Jackson? Like, they'd be so washed up. Like, I'm so rusty.
Yeah.
And actually, I've actually been picking it up, recently again. I think this summer I started watching it more again. Like, I still watch it very, very frequently. Still watch races, still watch NMG, still watch my speed runs, while I guess working at home. I work remotely.
Sure.
So I do have a practice channel. That I'm running my seeds now currently. I've actually been running one like every day for the past like few weeks.
That's awesome. Glad
cross
to hear
keys. I actually was more specifically, I got back into it because I liked cross keys. That was like my one of my favorite modes.
Sure.
And I was streaming from my MacBook at first, and I was using this tracker. Like the Ceph tracker, the entrance tracker.
Mm-hmm.
That was only for Windows, and like I don't even know where it is anymore. So like I can't find it. And I was like, well, maybe I can just like recreate it. Like, so since I'm an engineer, I was just like, I can create a web version of this tracker, maybe make it, customize it a little bit more and add more features into it. So I spent like, I guess this was just a month ago, I rebuilt that tracker for the web. I added more features. Like I added the connectors, like you can mark the connectors now. And I added the location tracker to the same tracker. And then like I injected, the item tracker, into it, so that I didn't have to like switch windows. Like everything is all in one. There's also a timer on it so that you can use the timer. So, I've been working on that, and just like I've been running seeds to make sure that like, does this tracker work? Like, could I add more features and stuff like that? But it's like it's in a pretty good shape actually.
That's awesome.
To use, and it's, if you know, it is like ready to use if anyone wants the link to it.
Is it publicly available? Have you made it publicly available yet?
Yeah, it's publicly available on my website. I think it's marknificent.tv/entrench tracker.
Okay.
Check that out. There's like cool things. There's like there's a couple of things like about the original tracker that didn't work too well for me. The original tracker would crash often.
Sure.
And so when it closed, you'd reopen it and you'd lose your status, you know, like of everything. So I added a save feature on mine. Like if you close the browser or like the computer turns off, it should save your status. Like if you reopen it, it should be where it was left off, at least for the most part. I think there was one part where I couldn't do that, but the map part, you know, it saves, which is something that I needed for sure.
Sure.
But yeah, my goal was just to like recreate the flow that I was, you know, very much used to. And I think I considered maybe using like the trackers that everyone else is like using right now. And I was like, oh wait, this is like completely different than, you know, what I'm used to with my hand, you know?
Yeah.
Cause there's a lot of like, you know, controller and hand switching and like, you know, and just looking back and forth. And yeah, so I didn't want to like relearn another like flow or tracker. So I just spent a little time and made that tracker.
That's sick, dude. I don't know if you know this, but you had a tracker that would track, was it connectors or like locations or something like that? Do you remember this? Like,
it was item locations. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
So I copied that and made my own version of it.
Oh, nice.
Cause I wanted the icons to be smaller and I didn't want to bother you to like, I just basically wanted to change the HTML a little bit.
Mm-hmm, sure. Yeah.
It blew up and I think there was a bunch. People started forking it off of my website, which was, they didn't know that it was off of your website. And so it kind of got blown up. I don't know if people are still using it, but I saw a lot of different people using it for a while. It was just pretty funny.
I'm happy that people, you know, like we're using it. I remember running cross keys at first and I just like, I lost track of which item locations I was seeing. So I was just like, and I was, you know, I was running a race and I was talking to Wald after. I was like, I wish I remembered what I, you know, like what I, you know, checked, you know, before. So I was like, maybe I should make a Markov tracker. So like I made that after the first season of League, the cross keys week. Like I lost, you know, I made it for that actually. And then I guess I shared it with a few people and I guess those people shared it with other people. So
yeah, for sure.
Worked out. that's really awesome. Cool actually. So I did add that item location tracker in this newer, you know, entry tracker.
I'm looking at it. It's sick, dude. It looks awesome. It's all mm-hmm. web-based. So I'm on a Mac and I can pull it up and there's no issues mm-hmm. with it.
Yeah. You can zoom out so that it fits to your screen. I think that was probably one of the features that I wanted the most. I was like, okay, I want to like make this smaller, make this bigger, like so it fits on my screen. So
sure.
But no, yeah,
that's super rad, dude.
Mm-hmm.
For so sure. When you first started playing Rando and started racing, did you find the Crystal Company? Did you find your people pretty quickly, or did that take a while?
So I had other streamers coming into my channel to, you know, to watch me also, like, I think we started racing against each other. And I think I asked around, I was like, is there like a race going on like on Friday nights? And like, and I got referred to the Crystal Company by a friend, one of like an earlier like follower of mine, still, still a viewer of my channel as well, even through the music. So so he was the one who referred to me, the Crystal Company to me. And then I started joining the Friday night races casually just to hang out with friends. And you know, just like I've actually been doing them for the past like 3-4 weeks. I've come back to it, trying to get my skills back. So
sure.
I feel like it's getting exciting like for me again. So I'm just like, I want to just like go back to it and try to enjoy it as much as possible. I don't want to like run it too much where I'm like getting really angry at it. I see a lot of people like run, you know, get really competitive, get too deep into it, and then like get really upset with themselves and start placing value on themselves with the game. And I was like, I don't know about that. I don't know if I want to get that far and down there. You know, it is random after all. I don't want to, I don't want to place value on my life with, you know, on gambling.
What a logical, smart way of approaching the game, man. That's really, I give it to you. Cause I had that issue where it's like, I got so competitive and was playing so much where it's like, I lose and I get pissed off. And then I'm like mad at myself. And like, why didn't you win? Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like take it out on myself. And then I'm like, I got to do it again just to get, it's like the gambler's fallacy where it's like, I lose $20. Well, now I got to go $20 more in so I can get my previous $20. And now I'm down 40. And it's like, then I'm, you know what I mean? It's like that just kind of kept happening. And it's like, I gotta stop.
For sure. That's reassess. Definitely what happened to me. Go ahead.
No, but that's what happened to you.
Yeah. I think in like earlier on in the rando, like when I was running randos pretty much every day, twice a day, I was definitely into that, you know, I've definitely rage a little bit more and get more mad. And, I definitely understand how that feels. So, you know, I'm not, you know, knocking anybody for feeling that way. I, you know, even now I can get a little impatient about a seed. I'm like, I made the wrong decision and, you know, like I can get down on myself, but at the end of the day, I try to remember like that was out of my control. I shouldn't be mad at something that's out of my control. Like I should just be mad at the things that I'm in control of. Like, I think as I like started playing less and less throughout the years. And I guess, when I went back to work, I started adopting more of that mindset. I'm like, okay, I'm just having fun here. Like, it doesn't matter if I win or lose. Like, I still want to play it well, but like, it doesn't matter if I like win. And I think in a way I start playing better. Like I play just a little bit more freely, with that. And like, I'm still like doing a little bit well in like maybe the cross keys tournaments, like of 2021, 2022, when I joined them, I was like, oh, I actually qualified for the brackets here. And I was like, didn't really expect it, but I guess I still had it, you know, somewhere.
Still got it.
Skill level. Yeah. Still got it. But you know, but I tell you what, I've been coming back to cross keys and I don't have it anymore for sure. And I was just like, I had like three hour and 10 minute seeds in a row. And I was boy. I guess I don't have it anymore.
Yeah.
Cause I lost
it. So it's definitely tough. You can get it. It's like riding a bike though, man. You'll get it back if the more you put into it, I guess, right?
Yeah. The times have been going slightly down. I'm now down to like the 2 hour and 30 minute mark right now. So I'm getting getting there.
So the times that you have walked away from the game, wasn't necessarily, or maybe it was, I don't know. Tell me, was it, I'm tired of the game, I need a break, or was it more like life happens and you just kind of step away?
Well, it was kind of like life happened. So on Twitch, my music stuff actually was getting a little bit more serious. So I was highly involved with throwing Twitch music events around the LA area. I was collaborating with a lot of Twitch music artists in LA. I actually went on tour with a Twitch music artist.
No way.
In 2022. Yeah, we went all the way up to Seattle. I wish I, you know, maybe put that out there a little bit more. Yeah. It was a West Coast tour and it was actually my first tour experience, like as a musician, surprisingly. Had opportunities, just never panned out for me until 2022. So
that's awesome. How did it go? How'd the tour go?
Oh, the tour was the most fun time I had, you know, kind of in my life. So
that's awesome.
We started in LA and worked our way up like in like San Francisco and Oakland and Sacramento. We actually stopped by the Twitch office on the way up. And then and then we did Seattle and then our last leg was Portland. So yeah, it's just like a couple weeks tour. And that was a quite an experience. It was so much fun.
Were you playing drums in this band?
Yes, I was playing drums. For another Twitch music artist, she goes by Raquel Lilly. Her handle is just Raquel on Twitch.
Okay. Original music or covers or?
Yeah, it was originals. She had just released an album, like a full length, her first full length album at the time. And it was just, it's such a good album too. And I was just like highly, you know, impressed with the production quality and the execution. And she's a good friend of mine and just a musician that I, you know, am highly inspired by on Twitch. And she's based out of Miami and, you know, I will go, now I'll go there just from time to time just to visit and just hang out because, you know, Miami's a fun place to be as well.
Mm-hmm. Sure. That's awesome. The music stuff has been incredible. Like I love when you're doing like the drum streams where people could just put in song requests and you just play along. And it's like incredible how you're able to pick up almost any song. It's I don't know how you do it, man.
Yeah, I think that's like something that I guess that skill I sort of picked up in college. When I was playing at, I was in the drum line for football games, but I was, but in for basketball games, we had more of, we played drum set. We had a book of like almost 300 songs. So just having to be able to play in all styles and tempos and just being also being able to play on the spot, like whenever things happen, whenever the music changes, that's just sort of the skill that I picked up there. And I guess it transferred really well to a Twitch stream where I'm playing, often playing songs where that I don't know. But generally like the song genres are, they have some sort of style or some sort of beat, that I can at least, you know, get into. And then, you know, it's fun to just kind of explore within, you know, the, what the song offers and, you know, just have fun with it and, you know,
sure,
make sure that, you know, people have fun with it too. So, yeah, it's just, and I think as you do it more, you, I guess your skill level in picking up songs gets like better. Like you start to pick up like, more nuanced things. Like sometimes I'll get progressive rock songs with like a lot of time signature changes and stuff like that. And since I like grew up with like a lot of Dream Theater, like one of my favorite prog rock bands, they, since I'm like used to like the time signature changes, like whenever I get a song with time signature changes, like I pick up a lot easier now because I kind of have experience in, you know, in listening for that. So sometimes I'll get a song where that I don't know that has time signature changes like that or non-common ones, and just like be able to pick it up. And I think the more you do it, the more, you know, it comes naturally.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
You do have a natural talent though, too, for sure, that, that you're able to obviously worked hard to refine and get better with. It's really cool. Plus your streams are just fun. Like not only are you just like drumming to like whatever songs we request, you just have an energy about you that's just super fun. Like I want to hang out with Mark. You know what I mean? Like that's the kind of feel you have on stream, and I love it.
For sure. You know, I try to make the atmosphere like one where they, you know, people want to just like come and hang out and just and stick around for a little bit. And, you know, I want to get to know everybody. I try to say hi to everyone that's in the chat and try to get them involved as much as possible. Ask people, you know, the chat questions and, you know, do some fun things, laugh, you know, laughing is, you know, I think people like, I think for me, like I use Twitch kind of to escape like what I'm currently doing, like, which is work, you know, like I sure. watch it and like try to escape from that a little bit. And I think for a lot of people go on Twitch to escape from, you know, what their daily lives, and, you know, what better way to do it than just to have a light atmosphere, have it be fun and, you know, inclusive. And, you know, and I just, I follow those kind of like mantras for streaming. I think that, you know, creates a safe environment, you know, for everybody to enjoy, what's happening there. Yeah.
Yeah. And it feels legit. Like it doesn't feel like you're putting on a show, at least to me. Like it feels like this is who you are. And I'm super drawn to people that are legit good people. And so,
well, thanks a lot.
It's just, you know, awesome.
Yeah, for sure. I think I try to be just myself as much as possible just on there. You know, I think that's, I think people can tell if you're, you know, like, trying to be somebody else. And
yeah,
some people are good at acting too. So like there's things that you can do.
Yeah, yeah. You are in LA, right? Like, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah,
I mean, I own a Markgnificent t-shirt. I don't know if you know that.
Oh yeah. Wow. I think maybe you had sent me a picture or like someone.
Maybe. Yeah.
I don't know, but that's cool. That's I always love when, you know, people have the merch and people show up at TwitchCon wearing the shirt too. Like I've had a couple of people do that. I'm like, oh, that's really cool. I didn't realize that I was at that level.
No, that's super awesome. So what's the future for Markgnificent? You're going to be continuing doing like the music streams. It sounds like you're playing a little bit more random. Are you going to join any tournaments, or is it just something that you're kind of messing around with on your free time?
I might think about joining a tournament in the future. Maybe the Cross Keys one, get me started. But you know, we'll see. Like I'm getting just back into it just cause like, I think life in general, I was sort of like, I had found, I think maybe I was just finding a plateau with the way I was like with work and music, and I was like, okay, I could stay right where I am right now. This is fine. Like this would be cool, or I can like try to get back to like a more you know, or not really get back to, but just like try to think more intentionally and, you know, like, what am I really spending my time on? I'm like, am I really happy here? And, you know, like, I, where I'm at, you know, with my work and, you know, and streaming or and streaming music. And I was just like, I really want to just like get back to, you know, I guess intentionality and maybe enjoying my time on stream a little bit more rather than just it feeling kind of like a chore. So I was just like, you know, like I remember I enjoyed doing rando races on Friday nights and I was like, maybe I should just start doing that again, you know, like start there. And like, I think this year I've just become a little bit more intentional about what I want to be showing on stream and what I want to stream and just trying to figure it out. And I think I've been doing a lot of, you know, just a little bit more soul searching. Like I think after TwitchCon, I actually was invited to play on the TwitchCon music stage.
Oh, wow. This year.
So I submitted my act for the stage and it was accepted. So I was like, oh, well, this is actually,
dude, that's
this is
sick.
Really cool. Very high honor. And I was just like, but you know, a lot of it was just like, oh, wow, I didn't even know you sing or have original music. And so it was just like, wow, it's like I don't sing on stream that often. Maybe I should. And so I was like, at that time, I was just like, what? Well, maybe I'm drumming too much. Maybe the people only know me as a drummer because that's all I do on the stream. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I really got to, you know, open it up to the other things. So I started thinking about that. I was like, okay, well, how am I going to schedule this out? I got a lot of other, you know, things happening in my life. So like, do I even have time for this? Like, so I took a step back just, you know, just a little bit more recently, for other reasons too. I've been looking for another job, just recently, but I just got one. So we're all good there.
GG's nice.
Yeah,
good job.
GG's. I got it. It was a long, like a couple months here. Yeah, so I just want to be a little bit more intentional about the time because like I just feel like I have like a lot less of it nowadays. So I'm just like, okay, I can do everything. I just have to be like, I have to schedule it out and limit my time that I waste, you know, like maybe sitting and thinking about doing things and not actually doing it. So that's where I'm at. I also want to enjoy, you know, my time too. So I think rando, getting back into running rando seeds is something that I really enjoyed too. So yeah, I'm coming back to it. Maybe I'll join a league. Maybe I'll join another tournament. I think that's in the cards.
That's awesome. I love to hear that. Before I get to the last question that I ask everyone, do you have a site to plug your music if you want to? Like magnificent.tv gives you a link to everything, right?
Let's see. That's more of a landing page. I'd say my Instagram page is probably the page that I route people to that has links to my music. To be honest, twitch.tv/magnificenttv is the best landing page. Right. Like I have all my links to my original music, like all my socials, like all the gear I use, like just the bio page, the about page on my Twitch is the best place for.
Perfect.
For people to get my, you know, links to my music.
Mm-hmm. Sweet. Because like, I was looking again at your Spotify list, that Paradise song, it's so good, man. It's so good.
Thanks a lot.
I've listened to it many, many times. It's so good. And the rest of the stuff is really good too, but that song has got it. So
yeah,
highly recommend people check it out.
That's a song that kind of surprised me. And it actually, I wrote all those songs or I recorded those. I collaborated with a guitarist for those songs. Mm-hmm. He pretty much just played guitar on all of the songs. And then I did the rest, I guess. I think once we released that, you know, that short EP, it was like a 4-song EP. We were kind of surprised that that was kind of the song that like really that people sort of gravitated towards. And I think naturally that's what everyone says. They like that song. And I think earlier on when we just released that song, Spotify picked it up and put it on one of their official playlists. We were just kind of dumbfounded. We're like, where are all these streams coming from? Because I think before we didn't know how, you know, that we didn't know about like official playlists, you know, synchronization.
Sure.
How like, you know, several tens of thousands of people were like following these playlists at the time. We're like, oh wow, like people are just like listening to this song. And So I think that song, you know, is the one that I, you know, that I get the most, you know, compliments on. And it definitely does the best whenever I submit it for anything. So, you know, thank you for, for liking that song and for jamming it.
It's awesome. And that's kind of how it works though, right? Like you put a bunch of work and you think like, oh, this is going to be the one. And then it's not the one, it's something else. I think that's always interesting as an artist to find like what the audience connects with that you might not expect them to connect with, you know?
Absolutely. That actually happened to me like on my most recent single, Saturdays is one of my most, that's the last single I put out, which was many years ago. Actually, it was like 8 years. I put it out in 2016 and I was just like, has it really been that long? Like it really has been that long. So, so I put that out in 2016 and I, I went through that process where I put all this time to it, like making it perfect. Like I kind of obsessed over it for like a good 2 or 3 weeks. That's all I listened to for like a good 2 or 3 weeks, for the whole day. You know, my days and my nights, I was listening to it, and so I wanted to get that one perfect, and I guess I just like didn't get there, and then I just ended up releasing it anyway, and you know, and it did okay. It wasn't, you know, it's definitely not on like the Paradise level, but you know, that's just like one example where I put so much work into it and you know, it's not as good as like, you know, it didn't do as well as like as Paradise or something like that.
Sure.
And then there's like definitely like a cover that I just sort of threw together in like 1 or 2 days that also is one of my highest, you know, listened and viewed things. So yeah, it's just like with artistry, you know, like the things that you're surprised
you
by.
Never
like,
know.
You just never know what people are into, and that's like you don't have control over it. And I think I wanted to have control over it, and that's where I learned big time that I shouldn't really, you know, think too much or stress too much about it.
Right. You just create and then hope it catches, and that's kind of all you can do, really.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
All right. I've taken so much of your time, dude. The question that I ask everyone is about tilt. My question is, how do you handle tilt, whether it's in the middle of a seed, something doesn't go your way, do you get tilted? How do you handle that? Or at the end of a seed, when you feel like maybe you should have won and you lose, does that tilt you? And is there a way to, do you have a way of approaching that as well?
Yeah. So yeah, with tilt, I think the sooner I accept, you know, I don't know, I guess the sooner I accept responsibility for it, like maybe it wasn't like directly my responsibility. Maybe it's just like, I try to rationalize it in a way where I'm just like, okay, well, I'm responsible because I'm the one who started playing this game. So like, it always comes back to it. Like, right. It's like the mistake was actually me playing this game in the first place, you know, like, like I think the sooner I take responsibility for it and I just like, and you know, the faster I can move past it and not have to dwell on like what I could have done differently. Like, I think I always go back to the point where I just like, I try not to attach value, like my value as a person, you know, like to the game, you know, to my skill level in the game or to how well, to the results of the game. Mm-hmm. Because I think the results and skill can be different. You know, like luck is also very much a factor in the game, but that shouldn't really, you know, I guess give you it shouldn't determine your value like or your skill level necessarily, especially value. I think people might, you know, attach the value too much to it and, you know, start getting down on themselves. And I think at the end of it, I just like, okay, it's like, this is a game, you know, like I don't have to attach value to it. Like I can have fun with it. You know, like I don't need to feel bad about myself, you know, like as a person, because I lost in this game. So I think that's how I handle tilt, is I end up like, you know, giving myself a pep talk at the end. I'm like, okay, like I've worked really hard in this game. I, you know, like I have a great skill level, you know, this shouldn't determine, you know, how I see myself or, you know, how people see me or and the game as well. So I try to keep reminding myself of that.
That's awesome, dude. Very healthy, very smart. Mm-hmm. Much respect. I wish someone told me that 4 years ago when I first started to play in the game. You know, it took me my own journey to figure that stuff out too. But man, yeah, that's really good.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Well, again, thanks for doing this, man. Love catching up with you. Glad to have you on the show and really appreciate you being here.
Absolutely, Fear. Thank you for having me on here. It's been a fun conversation. I feel like we could probably keep talking, you know, it. Like we could even keep talking about like how we first like met each other, you know, I commentated. You were one of the featured runners on there I think you reached out to me after. I think that's how we first met each other.
Gosh, you have an awesome memory, dude. That's incredible. That's incredible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So maybe for another time, but we'll leave it right there.
Once again, want to thank Mark for coming on the show. Really appreciate having him on and could listen to him talk forever. And as he said at the end, we could just keep talking, and we really could. I have lots in common with Mark. I love music, love sports, and you know, enjoy this silly video game that we play as well. So could talk to Mark for forever, but limited time. So that's all we could do for today. Next up, we've got Homewrecker coming on Monday. So check that one out. Another Washingtonian and a guy that I just really had a good time getting to know because I didn't really know Homewrecker. And yeah, I think he's an awesome dude. I've seen his streams a little bit. We got to talk a little BG3, so that's always fun. I'm always up for that. And yeah, excited for you guys to hear that one. 216pod.com has the links that you would need. Join our Discord. The NFL draft is happening tomorrow or as this comes out tonight, Thursday. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of chatter about the draft and what happens there. And then the basketball playoffs, I've actually been watching a little bit of the basketball playoffs and some pretty exciting stuff is going on, even though I hate the NBA. Baseball, just get rid of the umpires. I said it last time, just get rid of them. They're awful. They're just so bad. I'm so tired of watching people get struck out on all balls without swinging the bat. It's ridiculous. And it's not even just Angel Hernandez. They're all terrible. Just get rid of them. So we're chatting about that over in the Discord. So come hang out over there. Other than that, I just really appreciate everyone listening and hanging out. So we'd love to hear what you think about the show and come back on Monday for Homewrecker. Thanks for listening.